Good afternoon or good evening, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland on a Wednesday night, out of Access Radio Wellington, Kapiti Coast Radio and Plains FM in Christchurch on Saturday night, around the globe and all over New Zealand on planetaudio.org.nz. You're listening to Ireland Calling, which is brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And Oliver Lee is my name, and I hope that you'll be able to stay with us tonight and enjoy a good selection of music and all the latest news coming out of Ireland. Happy to say the weather has continued to be good in Ireland over the last week. In fact, there's parts of the country that have water shortages now, and we'll talk more about that later on. But the big story dominating Ireland in the last 48 hours is the itinerary for Pope Francis' visit to Auckland or to Ireland in August. We'll give you details on that. Sadly, there's been a number of people killed in accidents, both at home and abroad, and a couple of more terrible murders in Ireland over the last week. Negotiations are heating up on Brexit, and former Taoiseach Enda Kenny was honoured during the week, and we'll tell you what he said about Brexit and what he thinks of the Conservative government over there. Of course, the big meeting in Singapore yesterday is dominating all the front pages of the Irish papers today. Huge weekend in sport. Of course, we all know Ireland were beaten by Australia in rugby, so big game coming up in Melbourne this weekend. But it was the biggest weekend of Gaelic games in Ireland last weekend, so we'll give you all the results and preview the games that are coming up next week. No Irish team there, but the World Cup kicks off this weekend, but there'll be huge interest in Ireland. And if you were planning a trip, if you're in Ireland and planning a trip on a new Irish ferry, you're going to be disappointed because overnight they announced that the ferry isn't built. It's way behind schedule. So about 20,000 people have been affected by this. So all of the news and plenty of music. And first up tonight, we've got the Dublin City Ramblers and a song that was a huge hit when I left Ireland back in 1987. It's called The Flight of Errors.
Precious years. So we walk.
Yes, the Dublin City Ramblers there and Flight of Earls, and that was a song that was in the top of the charts nearly in the mid-80s with so many people leaving Ireland. And I might have mentioned last week that I looked at some DVDs of Rolling Back the Years that looked at Ireland in the 70s, 80s and 90s, and certainly the 70s and 80s were bleak times in Ireland, but thankfully a lot of that is behind us. You're welcome back, listening to Ireland Calling. Well, in 1979, a million people turned up at the Phoenix Park to see Pope Paul celebrate Mass there. He also travelled to Galway. I was up all night working I was in the FCA at the time, the local defence force, looking after parking. So there was about 60,000 people at the Galway racecourse. And the main reason he came to Ireland in 1979 was to celebrate the centenary of the apparition of Our Lady at Knock. But unfortunately, after the celebrations in Galway by the former Bishop of Galway, Bishop Casey, the Pope was about 2 hours late getting to Knock, and huge disappointment for Monsignor Horan that so many people, especially a lot of people, had disabilities and handicaps, had gathered there in Mayo on that late September day, and the fog came in and the Pope had to leave pretty much straight away after he concelebrated Mass. Well, I'm delighted to say that the itinerary for Pope Francis was announced in Ireland on Monday afternoon, and he is making a special visit to Knock. He's going to be in Knock on Sunday the 26th of August. He'll get down there at about 9:45 a.m. in the morning, and he plans to say the Angelus at the gable of the church where Our Lady appeared to the three young girls back there in 1879. And I know the place well. I've been to Knock many times. So this is a huge boost for the west of Ireland. And unlike 1979, every event that the public events the Pope will be attending, are going to be a ticketed affairs because of health and safety, according to Bishop Dermot Martin. So there'll be 45,000 tickets available. They're all free for people to see and the Pope in Knock for his first function, which is the gathering of the families. That takes place in Croke Park on Saturday the 25th at 7:45 in the evening. There's 80,000 tickets for that. And then on Sunday, there's a special Mass on Sunday the 26th of August at the Phoenix Park, and there'll be 500,000 people at that Mass. So as well as these public events, he's also going to meet survivors of clerical sexual abuse in Dublin. He's going to visit the Capuchin Centre for Homeless People in Dublin, and of course, formal events, meeting the President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins, and his wife at Orson Uachtaráin, and a special reception for him at Dublin Castle, hosted by the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. So he'll be coming to a very different Ireland to what his predecessor, Pope John Paul II, came to in 1979. We know the recent referendum to allow abortion to take place in Ireland up to 12 weeks took place a few weeks ago. So it'll be interesting to see whether he makes any comment about that during his visit. But certainly lots of people are getting excited. And of course, if you had a hotel or a bed and breakfast, especially in the west of Ireland, anywhere within 30 miles of Knock, you're booked out now, and the prices have gone up quite a bit. So it's like a rock star coming to town. There'll be people that will be jumping on the bandwagon and rising the prices up. So it's going to be a wonderful occasion, according to Bishop Barton and the head of the Catholic Church. And I'm sure that he's such a charismatic man. When he does meet people, they will be left in awe of being in his presence. And he will travel through O'Connell Street in Dublin from one event to the other in what we know as the Pope Mobile. I suppose it's only appropriate we've got a nice song coming up here called Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears by the Irish Tenors. So we'll take this now, and I'll be back to you again in a few minutes.
In her little bag she carried all her past and history, and her dreams for the future in the land of liberty. And courage is the passport when your old world disappears, as there's no future in the past when you're 15 years. By the hope, by the tears, by the freedom, by the fears, but it's not the isle I left behind. That isle of hunger, isle of pain, I'll never see again, but the isle of home is all.
The Irish tenors there on Isle of Hope, Isle of Tears, and if you've tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Greek Group, and I hope that you're able to stay with us for the best part of an hour and hear all the latest news from Ireland, as long as with good music. As I said, great spell of fine weather in Ireland, fantastic time of the year for people, especially farmers, to be able to get silage and hay saved. And especially in the west of Ireland, the turf has been cut, and now it's a chance for it to dry, and people are out there in the bogs. And as a man that grew up in the west of Ireland, we hated it when we were young to go to the bog, but I must say, every time I go back, I do like spending at least a day in the bog. It's just a great place to be there, to be turning turf and to hear the birds singing. And, you know, many people in the west still cut turf, but of course the EC decided a few years ago that there was certain high banks of turf that weren't allowed to be cut, so that's still the case over there. But there's still plenty of bogs for people to cut turf. From the west of Ireland, former Taoiseach Enda Kenny, he was given an honorary doctorate, made European Man of the Year for his contribution to Irish and European affairs. This honour was presented to him at the Shelburne Hotel on Monday, and a number of people criticised him for taking this, but because they felt that he probably could have done more to after the bailout that took place in Ireland after the economy nearly collapsed. Of course, we made commitments to repay all the bondholders, whereas other countries didn't. A friend of mine was recently in Iceland, and Iceland literally defaulted on all its banking promises and promissory notes after their banking system collapsed, and now Iceland is back booming with an economy better than ever. Ireland actually honoured all the commitments, and one of the banks that nearly brought Ireland to its knees was Anglo-Irish Bank. I mentioned last week that its former chief executive, he was on trial for fraud. The trial went on for nearly 9 weeks, and decision came down last Wednesday and found him guilty. So he's got two more weeks of freedom, and he could get upwards of 10 years in jail. He will follow three of his colleagues that went to jail for similar offences, but the former CEO and chief executive, Sean Fitzpatrick, his court case collapsed just over a year ago where there was some technical issue. So he got away, and it looks like that his successor, well, he definitely will, David Trum, will spend time in jail. But going back to Enda Kenny, Enda was delighted, and he basically had a go at Theresa May and the Conservative government, saying they are making a complete hames of the Brexit. I know there was a vote that went through yesterday, literally with negotiations at the last minute. Otherwise, it would have been an embarrassing defeat for the British government, which has been propped up by the 10 Democratic Unionist MPs in Northern Ireland. But former Taoiseach Enda Kenny said it's now time for the British government to start putting things into place to make sure that the hard border that people are talking about is not going to happen. So Enda Kenny, first time anybody heard of him or seen from him for over a year. He's still the TD for Mayo, but he's obviously bound out at the end of what this government term. When it finishes, he won't be seeking re-election, but I've no doubt he'll be trying to put one of his own family members in there. All right, we'll take another bit of music. This time we've got Johnny McAvoy, and he's singing all about the Boston burglar.
I was born and raised in Boston, a place you all know well. Brought up by honest parents, the truth to you I'll tell. Brought up by honest parents, and raised most tenderly, till I became a sporting lad at the age of 23. My character was taken, and I was sent to jail. My friends, they came and tried in vain to get me out on bail. The jury found me guilty, the clerk, he wrote it down. The judge, he passed the sentence, I was bound for Charlestown. They placed me on an eastbound train one cold December day, and every station we passed through, you could hear the people say, there goes the Boston burglar, in cold chains he's bound. For one crime or another, he is bound for Charlestown. All you have your freedom, take a warning if you can. And don't go round the streets at night, breaking laws of God and man. For if you do, you'll surely rue and find yourself like me, serving up full 20 years in the penitentiary.
Yes, Johnny McAvoy there, and the Boston burglar. And if you're travelling to Ireland over the next few months, Johnny McAvoy's and many singers like him are involved in cabarets all over the country. And, of course, Big Tom McBride was farewelled a few weeks ago, a legend in Irish country music. Daniel O'Donnell, who has been a guest on the programme a few times, he's, of course, touring. He was touring the UK a few weeks ago, but he's also doing some shows in Killarney in August. They've sold out probably over a year ago. Daniel is so popular over there. We'll turn our attention to sport now. And, of course, here on Saturday night after the All Blacks defeated France, we turned our attention to Brisbane, where there was a huge Irish support to watch a relatively inexperienced team take the field for Ireland. Joe Schmidt has decided that he wanted to give some players a chance in the first 15, and he tried out Joey Carberry, who's got strong New Zealand connections, at number 10, along with a number of other players in the front row. But Ireland certainly were still in with a chance of winning the game with about 15 minutes to go. But unfortunately, they were beaten up front and lost the game. So the second test is in Melbourne on Saturday night. Both second and third tests are completely sold out. And it's expected, so when the team is announced tomorrow, it'll be a very strong team to take on the Wallabies, because this is a must-win match. And the last time that Ireland won a series in Australia, or won a test match, was 1979. And a man that obviously guided Ireland to success then was one Ollie Campbell. And I had the pleasure of meeting Ollie a few times in Ireland. And he's very good friends with Ollie Burke, who lives in Timaru down here. And I was in touch with Ollie last week, and he was just amazed that there was so much publicity given to the time that he kicked Ireland to success back in 1979 when Ireland won a three-test series. He thinks that Ireland have a great chance of beating the Wallabies this weekend and set up a fantastic third test in Sydney in a few weeks' time. While all that was happening down here, there was an awful lot of Gaelic football happening in Ireland, and up in Ulster, Donegal, who were down to 14 men after about 10 minutes, they hammered down. So they're into the Ulster final with their take on Fermanagh, and that's literally a foregone conclusion, because Fermanagh very lucky to beat Monaghan in the semi-final. So that game is on the 24th of June. From my own point of view, the big final is on, one of them in this weekend, and it's at Hyde Park in Roscommon. Roscommon will take on Galway. Now, Roscommon beat Galway last year, and you know, they've advanced to the final by beating Leitrim a few weeks ago. So there was a bit of controversy over where the game would be played, because the facilities at the Hyde Park are not up to what people require these days. So the GAA, Connacht Council, basically issued an ultimatum, which the Roscommon GAA said they'll adhere to. So there'll be about 19,000 people at that game. No love lost between these two counties. So hopefully it'll be a great game, because there was a small bit of Huffle and Buffle last week and some of the other games we'll touch on in a minute. Laois, they were too good for Carlow, so they advanced to the Leinster final, and they'll take on Dublin. Dublin played Longford, and Dublin's football goalkeeper, Stephen Cluxton, was badly injured when he came out to kind of gather a ball, and he was taken out of it by a Longford player who was sent off, probably see the sidelines for quite a while, so he was moved to hospital. Whether or not he'll be available for the rest of their championship, we'll just have to wait and see. The Munster final, that'll be Kerry against Cork. That won't take place until Sunday week, the 23rd. And, of course, there was a big round of qualifying matches in football. We'll come to hurling in a minute. Last weekend, Kerry, Kildare beat Derry. Tyrone beat Meath. Now, this is a game there was a bit of trouble at the end. Meath should have probably won the game in normal time. It went to extra time, and Tyrone were leading by a point when they should have probably got a free. But the referee, a Roscommon man, I think, didn't give the free, and there was a kerfuffle at the end, and the Meath manager was very upset. And he just talked about how much these players put in for the referee to make a bad decision. Louth were too good for London. Cavan too good for Wicklow. Offaly too good for Antrim. Mayo went down to Limerick, and 9,000 of their supporters travelled down there. And the Mayo player who was severely injured in the Galway game, Tom Parsons, when people saw him coming in on the ground, he got a standing ovation, and he took part in the draw on Monday morning, which for the next round of qualifiers. So Mayo had a huge win over Limerick. Armagh beat Westmeath, and Waterford unexpectedly beat Wexford. So on Saturday week, the next round of qualifiers will have Waterford pitted against Monaghan, a home venue for Waterford. Tipperary will play Mayo, probably in Thurles. Cavan against Down. Carlow against Tyrone. Sligo versus Armagh. Leitrim versus Louth. And Longford versus Kildare. And on the hurling front last weekend, Kilkenny were very lucky to beat Wexford by a point. Wexford leading this game by 8 or 9 points at one stage. But Kilkenny came back, and they advanced to play Galway in the Leinster final in a few weeks' time. That's on the 1st of July. Galway, meanwhile, who had already qualified for the Leinster final, they beat Dublin by a point, but of course they had a much changed team. Much to play for in Munster. Limerick, who looked very strong this year, they beat Waterford. So Waterford now are All-Ireland finalists last year. They're out of the championship this year. And the other big team that are out as well after they lost to Clare was Tipperary. So Tipperary and Waterford gone. And there's two rounds of games left this weekend where Clare take on Limerick. That'll be a huge game. That game is at Ennis, sell out already, and Waterford taking on Cork. So the Munster final, we'll know who's in the Munster final after those round of games. All right, let's take another bit of music, and this time we've got a man. This piece of music is always played in Croke Park on All-Ireland final day. It's called Up and Away by Mairtin O'Connor on the concertina. Welcome back, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you each week with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and that lovely piece of music on the concertina there, Mairtin O'Connor. I hope wherever you're listening tonight, whether in New Zealand or you're overseas, you're enjoying the programme, and we'll continue with some more of the news. As I said, fine weather over the last few weeks in Ireland. Everybody's out sunbathing, and it was even warmer in Ireland than parts of Spain and Portugal last week. The warm weather in Ireland has brought problems, and in Skerries there was shortages of water earlier this week, and in Meath and Drogheda last week there was also issues where a main water pipe broke as well. And we know last year people in that region were without water for about 8 days. And of course this all goes back to the fact a few years ago where there was the government as part of and told by the European Central Bank and the Troika that Ireland had to pay more for their resources, and the water charges were going to be brought in. But there was such objections to them that the government had to do an about turn, and people that had paid the water charges got their money refunded. But it's left the infrastructure for water in Ireland in a vulnerable state. I know everybody, taxpayers, feel it should be taken out of the central fund. But when people can leave taps on and leaking pipes without doing anything about it. And this is what was happening. It shows that when we have a fine spell of weather, you know, there's water shortages in many parts of, well, and certainly in parts of the country, and people in Skerries and North Dublin weren't very happy with the result of having water shortages over the weekend. Mentioned last week about the terrible shooting in Bray in County Wicklow at the boxing club where Katie Taylor used to train. The boxing club is run by her dad. A young man was killed. Well, he's a man in his 50s, was killed. And Katie Taylor's dad, Pete, and another man at the club were injured, but they'll recover. Of course, there was no word from Katie within the days of this happening. She's a professional boxer now, but then on Friday she gave a statement to one newspaper only, this the Irish Times, where she said that she was sorry about the person that died, and great to hear that her dad and his friend were recovering. She then went on to say that she has no connection with her dad and hasn't had for about 3 years. And she was shocked and horrified that her picture was used in stories relating to, you know, the terrible tragedy. And she asked people to respect her privacy. So, of course, that led to every newspaper running with this story the following day. And guess what? Her picture ran alongside it. So, as somebody said, you can choose your friends, you can choose your family. And the fact that her dad was in her corner for one of her great days when she won the gold medal at the Olympics in 2012, wasn't it, in London. They obviously fell out afterwards, where he left his mum to, I think, start a relationship with a friend of hers that she used to train with. And then on Sunday morning, Tuesday morning, news broke of a terrible murder down in Cork, a member of the Polish community, man that had a business just out the skirts of Cork. He was hacked to death in the early hours of the morning, and his wife was injured as well, and their two young children under six thankfully weren't touched. But the Gardaí, very busy both in Dublin and in Cork, and of course there's a number of other investigations going on into murders. And then there was a number of accidents. A young 14-year-old boy who was driving a car in Donegal was killed on Friday evening, and a young student from Louth with friends in Greece, he died when he fell off a balcony. And I see in the papers today that there's another young man struggling as a result of a drowning, near drowning experience on a foreign holiday. So certainly the fine weather and good things that's happening is good for some people, but there's certainly people that are doing things tough at the moment as they deal with tragedies such as what I've mentioned there. All right, we can continue on with another piece of music, and this time we've got Kieran Goss, and he's asking us to take a look at My Heart.
Thought that I knew you, but I only ever see what you choose to show. Once the fool for believing the words you said you'd never go. Take a look at my What was I thinking of? What was I thinking of? What was I thinking of? Let you go. Healing everything's out of control. I believe what you're saying. Believe in my mind, but doubt in deep in my soul. Take a look at my.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And the Leaving Cert and Junior Cert exams continue in Ireland and halfway through. And overall feedback from students is that the papers are fairly, even, you know, they were what they were expected. So, of course, the Leaving Cert students will have to wait till the middle of August to find out how many points they've got and then to get into their preferred courses of choice at tertiary education centres all around Ireland. Like, from memory, last year 56,000 people did the Leaving Cert and 52,000 people were offered positions at third level education facilities. But like here in New Zealand, there's a need to try to get more and more people into the trades because there's such a demand for people working. You know, in all the trades in Ireland, the building is booming in Dublin and all the main centres. I see a report in the Irish Independent today says that almost 50% of Irish people now describe themselves as overweight or obese. And I suppose it's young people these days are spending more time playing video games rather than being out and playing sport. That's part of the reason. But people, not alone in Ireland, but here and other parts of the world as well, spend a lot of time, or we spend probably too much eating the foods that aren't good for us and not doing the good exercise that's needed. Of course, last week I mentioned that President Michael D. Higgins and his wife Sabina, they hosted a function in the grounds of Áras an Uachtaráin for over 240 Magdalen Laundry survivors. So they got huge publicity in Ireland. They were delighted to be able to be honoured at Áras an Uachtaráin. Many of these women had returned, a lot from England, some from America, and a number from Australia and other parts of Europe. They had left Ireland in terrible circumstances. They basically ran away from these slave-driven laundries where they were supposed to be going there for an education. They weren't able to be looked after by their families, and the families put them into these institutions thinking that they were going to be educated with doing a little bit of work, but it was all work and no education. And to hear some of their stories was horrific. But they feel they're very happy with the way the government and indeed the state is honouring them now, and many of them have been compensated for the wrongs, but they'll never fully be compensated after what happened. But Christy Moore, along with Dana and a number of other musicians, Mary Byrne, performed at the big function at the Mansion House on Tuesday night, and all of the media gave unbelievable coverage to these people, and the tears of joy and tears of sorrow was evident in many of the pictures that were shown on in the newspapers and TV over early days of last week. As I mentioned earlier, the World Cup soccer gets underway. no joy for Ireland in qualifying, but there's a big feature in the Irish Independent today, looking back at the 1988 Boys in Green. Where are they now? It's the 30th anniversary of Ireland qualifying for their Euro Championship. And I remember being in Australia at the time, Sydney, and watching these games in the middle of the night. And, of course, Ireland did very well. They got into the second round and they beat England, which was a huge thing for Ireland then, because we'd never had any much success against England. Right, we'll take another bit of music. And this time we've got, well, it's the beginning of winter here. We've had winter days for the last few days. But here's Liam O'Flynn on the Illan Pipe. Of course, Liam passed away earlier this year. Beautiful Illan Piper, a great friend of Christy Moore, Donal Lunny. And here he is with Winter's End. Yes, wonderful Illan Pipe music there of Liam O'Flynn and Winter's End, where we're starting our winter here. Beautiful weather last week, but certainly earlier part of this week a bit cold and miserable, but hopefully it won't be a very bad winter. And if you've tuned in, you've missed a lot of the programme, but are you listening to Ireland Calling, which is brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Just to recap on the main stories that have dominated the news in Ireland over the last few days, the itinerary for Pope Francis' visit to Ireland in August was announced, with events in Dublin at Croke Park, Leinster at the Phoenix Park, 500,000 people for Mass there on Sunday the 26th of August, and earlier that day 45,000 will join in a special Mass in Knock down in Mayo. And in between, the Pope will meet the President and the Taoiseach at various events, and as well meet victims of clerical abuse and visit the homeless in Dublin. As I said, leaving and junior cert exams continue. At the moment, the weather in Ireland has been very good, so a great time of the year for farmers getting work done. Of course, the Parliament will be closing down in a few weeks' time, so there's a lot of issues to be dealt with. Of course, the government is only in power with the support of Fianna Fáil, who said they'll support them for a third budget, which will come in October. They'll want to get a lot of their own deals into that budget, so hopefully the government will survive till then. It may not, and you know, but at the moment it looks like Leo Varadkar is doing very well. But the big issue facing Ireland is the continuing lack of action on behalf of Britain to try to exit out of European Union and to make sure that there's no hard border between the north and south of Ireland. Huge weekend in sport. Of course, the World Cup starts, but Ireland not involved, and sadly Ireland's ladies were knocked out of the Women's World Cup earlier this evening when they were beaten by Norway, so they have no hope of qualifying now. And I heard some of the results coming through from the three game series ODIs between New Zealand ladies and Irish ladies in cricket, and I think we have a long way to go in terms of being competitive in cricket, because New Zealand, when they were put into bat first, scored huge big scores. Of course, Trump and Kim gets a lot of publicity in all the papers as well in Ireland, as well as you know, some of the other events that are taking place around the world. Well, he died a few weeks ago, but he's a legend, and here he is singing a song all about a town where I went to school. This is Big Tom singing all about the four country roads to Glenamaddy.
Four country roads winding to a town, County Galway. Four country roads I left behind. Four dusty roads winding to the town of Glenamaddy. Four dusty roads ever in the caverns of my mind. Once in a while I hear the sound of music in the winter night. I see now and then trees where we shattered from the rain. And once in a while I see us walking home in the morning light. And after the time I long to see my hometown once again. Four roads from Glenamaddy. Four roads that drift apart. By the meadow, and one country road to the churchyard where my mom and daddy lies. One dusty road where I strolled with a loved one in the shadow, and one dusty road that led me on my journey far away.
Yes, Big Tom McBride there on the four roads to Glenamaddy, and obviously Big Tom, a big feature of the Irish music scene for over 50 years, and he was performing as late as last year, but after his wife Rose died at the end of January, he passed away in May, and a huge outpouring of support for Big Tom and his family when he was laid to rest just outside Castlebaney in County Monaghan. But certainly listening to that song there brings back memories of the festivals and carnivals that took place, especially in the west of Ireland over the summer months, from June to really August, in literally small towns or even at crossroads. You've got three, four and five pole marquees used to shoot up. They were all put together by community events, and bands that you'd normally see at the big dance halls would come along and play literally in these in the middle of a field. But there'd be a big fence put up. There'd be an admission. Of course, lads tried to climb in over the fence, and you know, they might have saved $1.50, but they might have ripped their trouser in the meantime, and maybe been caught by a bouncer and kicked out. But the festivals are long gone. Festivals now, they're all cabaret events that happen in all the big cities. Yes, another big week ahead for us on the sporting front. Ireland taking on the Wallabies in Melbourne on Saturday night. And, of course, a huge round of Gaelic games in Ireland, including the Connacht football final between Galway and Roscommon. That game taking place in Roscommon this weekend. The following weekend, there's a couple of big finals on. You've got three. The following weekend, you've got the Ulster final, you've got the Leinster final, and the Munster final, which will take place on Saturday the 23rd of June. And then the qualifiers are still continuing. So plenty of action on the sports front. And if you're heading to Ireland, and I know I met somebody the other day that was heading over there for a visit, if you want to see and experience something different to what you can experience on the sports field in New Zealand, it would be nice to go along and watch a hurling game or a football game. Not even an inter-county match, but some of the club matches. And it's certainly entertaining. Well, that's about it for another week. Hopefully you've enjoyed the programme. I'll leave you tonight with Lord of the Dance, 24 years ago since this made its name during the interval at the Eurovision Song Contest. And it's obviously led to dance shows with Irish connections happening. We've got Lord of the Dance, and we've got the other one, River Dance, that's happening as well. In many places around the world at the moment. Thanks again to the Hugh Green Group for their continued support, and thank you for tuning in. I wish you good night, goodbye, and God bless, and I'll be back again next week. Bye now.